You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Exactly what we need, when we need it. No more, no less. It's inventory management my way. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The first round of jury selection for the murder trial of Aaron Hernandez is almost over. The last of 1,100 candidates will fill out screening questionnaires today at Massachusetts Superior Court in Fall River. That's where a jury will decide if the 25-year-old former New England Patriot is guilty of shooting and killing a semi-pro football player in 2013. The controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline is moving forward in the Senate after a key procedural vote. Senators cleared a 60-vote threshold Monday and voted to proceed to a debate on the project, which would pump oil from Canada to the Texas Gulf Coast. The House passed the Republican bill Friday authorizing construction of the pipeline. A new study suggests Facebook may know its users even better than their friends and family do. Researchers asked over 80,000 Facebook users to take part in a personality test. They compared the results with a computer model answering the same questions based on whatever the user liked on Facebook, including celebrities, activities, events, and artists. On average, the computer was able to match the user's answers about themselves more times than their loved ones. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hey, listen, I have my own business. Can you help me get my name out there?
I'm on it.
You can print my name on anything?
On it. Your name on business cards, on pens, brochures, banners, t-shirts, signs.
Go on.
On hats, mugs, magnets, calendars, keychains, tote bags.
On tote bags?
Totes.
Can I do it on budget?
On it.
I'm sold. Hey, are you ever not on?
Only on my days off.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Get 20% off any copy and print order of $50 or more.
Offer valid in-store and online ends 1/31/15. Exclude self-serve copying and faxing, computer rentals, and outsourced print services. Discount applied before taxes, may not be combined with any other offer.
It would seem that our work is cut out for us when it comes to preparing for and dealing with outbreaks of serious diseases. The Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation worked together on a recent nationwide report. Rich Hamburg is the deputy director of the Trust for America's Health.
Half of the states in Washington, D.C. scored 5 or lower out of 10 key indicators relating to preventing, detecting, diagnosing, and responding to outbreaks. Washington was one of those states, scoring a 4 out of 10 of these indicators.
The report looks at cases like Ebola and other antibiotic-resistant superbugs. Hamburg calls the recent Ebola outbreak a wake-up call. He also says the report found less than half of Washington residents were vaccinated for the flu. He adds that state budget cuts in Washington over the past 2 years haven't helped.
Washington is one of a number of states that have seen multiple years of budget cuts. So looking at public health funding overall, the state has seen a cut in at least the last 2 years.
An experiment involving heavy chemotherapy and injections of the patient's own stem cells appears to stop the advance of relapsing multiple sclerosis. But for now, traditional drugs and methods remain the preferred MS treatment. Dr. Peter Wade, an MS expert from Connecticut, says diet is a part of that.
There's really no specific diet recommendations or restrictions that I give to MS patients. I think a general healthy diet, a low-fat fruits and vegetables, is the diet you need to take.
Dr. Wade says exercise is also important, even for MS patients in wheelchairs. Relapsing MS is the disease's most common form. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. The news is sponsored by Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Time is 10:06. It's time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. It's 23 degrees and clear skies in Flemington right now. Our temperature today will be 27 as a high. It's sunny and winds north-northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy skies this evening will become overcast overnight, a low around 10, winds light and variable. For tomorrow, the 14th, overcast and a high of 32, winds light and variable. On Thursday, sunshine along with some clouds, 33. Sunny and a few afternoon clouds, 38 on Friday. Sunny and 38 on Saturday the 17th. And on Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 47. We come down to 35 again on Monday. A few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny, and winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Temperatures in our area right now, 22 in the center of the county, 25 on our southeast border, 26 over in Bridgewater, 24 up in Tewksbury and Clinton, and 23 over in Lambertville. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do it by accomplishing their wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making those purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments could include news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com is my email address. Phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. And to contact me outside of the show, go to BluePantherBIZ.com. Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm going to take you back to a time in yesteryear when we were worrying about the year 2000. Remember Y2K? Well, we seem to have another one in our midst in the very near future. David Goldman of CNN Tech on January 13th says, this year's Y2K leap second threatens to break the internet. So get your apocalypse bunker ready. The summer of a leap second will threaten a wreak havoc across the internet. Last week, the International Earth Rotation and Reference Systems Service declared that we're all living about a second ahead of where we should be. The Earth's rotation has slowed, and we'll need an extra second for the planet to catch up. The IERS announced that the leap second will take place on June 30th. The problem is that the computer software controlling much of the web doesn't play nicely with leap seconds. The previous leap second, which took place in 2012, brought down Reddit, Yelp, LinkedIn, Foursquare, Gawker, StumbleUpon, among other sites and apps. Qantas' entire computer system went down for hours, forcing employees to check in passengers by hand. The code for most web apps is based on Unix software that traces its roots to 1970, 2 years before leap seconds ever existed. Computers check in from time to time with IERS network to make sure that they are telling the time correctly, like wristwatches. They have to be rewound every now and then. When leap seconds happen, IERS tells computers that the last minutes of that day will have 61 seconds. That makes Unix-based software go haywire. The good news is there is a solution. Google developed what it calls one of its coolest workarounds after a 2005 leap second made some of its computer systems to stop accepting new commands. To avoid the leap second issue, Google gradually adds a couple of milliseconds to its server clocks throughout the day when a leap second is to occur, just enough to stave off disaster by the end of the day, but not enough to trip any alarm bells when the adjustments are made. The bad news is that leap seconds continue to disrupt web services even after Google told the world how to fix it. When Reddit went down for around an hour on July 1st, 2012, the site tweeted, You ever wish you had an extra second or two? This is not one of those times. Leap seconds are necessary because the length of a day and year is in constant flux. Earthquakes and volcanic eruptions have a tendency to slow the Earth's rotation, and as do gravitational forces from the moon and other celestial bodies. There have been 25 leap seconds since they were introduced in 1972, but some groups have been looking to get rid of leap seconds. At the next meeting of the standard-setting International Telecommunication Union, nations' representatives will vote on abolishing the practice. Leap second opponents say the benefits don't outweigh the technological mishaps that they cause. Even if they were a leap second every year, there isn't. The Earth would only be 16 minutes behind schedule in the year 3015. By that time, we won't really care, will we? You know, it's interesting they bring up the version of Y2K, because I was involved in the Y2K fixes, quote-unquote, and one of the things that startled me was that one of the fixes we put in was a temporary fix for 20 years, and now we're at 2015, and that fix that we have in there in 2000 was going to break again in 2020. Another fix was going to break in 2050. But the hope was neither of those fixes, 2020 and 2050, would be necessary because the software and or the computers would be obsolete and taken down. But you know as sure enough, there are going to be some of them out there. Hopefully they are not running on anything that is absolutely dependent upon. But there's going to be some 2000 Y2K issues over the next 5 years and in the next 30 years. Just a matter of people finding it and fixing it. It is 10:14, and so if we make it through this commercial break, I'll be right back with more of Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call Ashore Shred. Ashore Shred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call Ashore Shred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Keep it off for the rest of your life. There is a difference. My name is Dawn Moore. I am a certified health coach who uses a Take Shape for Life approach to help my clients lose weight, eat healthy, and live longer. Call me at 908-303-5334 or email me dawn@moreandbetterhealth.com. Your prescription for living a healthy, energetic, and intentional life.
It's 10:19. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. One of the most productive items and the bane of our existence is the smartphone. And for whatever reason, I do not completely understand this. I would love to get a psychologist or a psychiatrist in, is we cannot give these things up. It's obvious with driving, but one of the things that happens in business is you can't get people to put down their phones during meetings. 8 smart ways to stop people from checking their smartphones during meetings. 94% of bosses say it's wrong to use smartphones during meetings, but everyone still does it. Minda Zetlin, co-author of The Geek's Gap, writes this article on Inc.com, and she says, everybody hates it when others check their smartphones or other mobile devices during a meeting, and yet everyone does it. In a recent survey by Robert Half Management Resources, only 6% of managers said they thought it was okay to pull out a mobile device and view messages and or email during a meeting. The remaining 94% thought people should never check their smartphones or even to deal with something urgent or only if they excused themselves and left the meeting while doing so. That sentiment is particularly strong among small business managers, about 40% of those from companies with fewer than 100 employees, saying that smartphones used in meetings is never okay. With bosses so firmly aligned against smartphone use in meetings, you'd think it'd be a rare occurrence, but of course it isn't. Two-thirds of managers reported that smartphone use in meetings was either very common or somewhat common in their experience. Maybe it's like showing off vacation pictures. We dislike it when someone else does it, but think it's just fine when we do it ourselves. What to do? Assuming you're part of the 94% majority, how can you reduce or maybe even eliminate smartphone use during your next business meeting? Here are some ideas. Make the rules clear. Movie theaters across the land tell audiences in so many words that texting during a feature is unacceptable, yet some people continue to think that it's fine. The same may be happening in your own conference room. You're the boss, so it's up to you to articulate the rules, whatever they may be. If you must use your smartphone, excuse yourself and leave, or only use your smartphone for an emergency, or I expect that your smartphone will be left at your desk. Then follow them up yourself. Do as I say, not as I do. Doesn't work in parenting, but it doesn't work in management either. So if you're laid down a smartphone ban in your meetings, you better leave your own phone behind as well. Otherwise, you'll just lose respect from your employees, and they'll be tempted to try to sneak peeks at their own phones when they think that you aren't looking. Don't waste people's time. Employees will be much more tempted to check their email if they're sitting through a recap of things they already know or not really listening to a lot of discussion that does not pertain to them. Anytime someone might be tempted to doodle, they'll be twice as tempted to check their smartphone, which is both much more appealing and has the potential to actually be productive. So don't waste people's time. If the next 15 minutes doesn't concern half the people in the room, invite those people to leave and return or step into the hallway, where you'll have provided comfortable chairs while there ain't or aren't any needed. Don't start the meeting by reviewing what everybody already knows, and don't have more meetings than you need in the first place. I would also like to say and add to the article, you need an agenda, and you need as an agenda to plan how long you think you're going to expect to speak about each point and move on from it. This way it moves along quickly. And if, like you said, if it don't need a meeting, cancel it. I used to schedule a meeting every week, and if I found out that we either were way too busy or I found out that there really wasn't much to go over, I would cancel it the day before and say, don't bother coming. Your hour is much more valuable than my meeting. Don't be boring. It's hard enough to lead a meeting, but let alone be entertaining while doing so. But do it if you can, perhaps by carefully going over the material that needs to be covered and thinking how to present it in the most engaging, unexpected way. Don't let others be boring either. You need to give people the opportunity to express their points of view. But if someone is rambling, argumentative, or focusing on minutiae, cut the person off politely before you lose everyone else. Stand up. Some companies hold meetings while standing. That won't work all the time, of course, but it's great for things like daily or weekly check-ins. That encourages you and everyone else to keep things brief and to the point. And if it makes it much harder to check a smartphone, especially without being seen. Plan for smartwatches. Oh yeah, they're on their way. CES this year is dominated by smartwatches, and with Apple's entry into the market becoming in March, smartwatches will soon be truly ubiquitous. With smartwatches, people can check their text, email, and social media messages without even touching their phones. And you can't reasonably instruct people to take off their watches before entering a meeting. Smartwatches are new to the workplace, and most companies don't have policies about them yet. To complicate matters, many commonly used fitness trackers also provide email and texting. Whatever policy you set about smartphone use in meetings should take smartwatches and fitness trackers into account as well. Handle millennials thoughtfully. Millennials are more likely to use smartphones than any other age group and also more likely to depend entirely on mobile devices for all their computing activity. smartphone use is, of course, a millennial stereotype that may or may not apply to individuals at your company. But many millennials grew up with smartphones around in a way that their elders did not, and they may affect their view of what constitutes normal or courteous smartphone behavior. Consider the possible advantages of smartphones in meetings. If smartphones in meetings seem like nothing but a negative, consider how quickly they can be used to grab a quick answer to a question, find a statistic, or check on the status of a project. Among other social groups, using smartphones' voice commands is considered more polite because it can make them seem like another participant in the conversation, one who can contribute useful information when needed. Whatever your approach, it may be better to use smartphones as a tool than exile them completely. Either way, it's smart to set boundaries around smartphone use in the meetings. Consider your company's culture, the meeting participants, the meeting purpose, and the mood you're trying to set. Then create a smartphone policy that will help them get there. You are the boss, and so, yes, you should have all this thought through and be prepared to adjust it, maybe even on a week-by-week basis, depending on what your topics of your meeting are. So, yes, if you're going to get down to nitty-gritty on project planning, perhaps they're going to come in with their smartphones to have their project plan and their view. It's very similar to when we used to bring laptops into the meetings. So be aware of it. But the real key is respect of you, you respecting them, and making sure that you're holding people accountable to the information in the meeting. If people know that they are accountable to the information in the meeting, and they realize that they haven't paid attention, I guarantee you they're not going to be paying attention to their smartphones the next time. It's 10:28. We're going to take a break. Station ID, news, and weather, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in a few minutes.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. Funeral services are taking place in Israel today for four Jewish people killed in an attack at a kosher supermarket in Paris. They were killed Friday when a gunman stormed the supermarket 2 days after the deadly attack on satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo. The Israeli prime minister and other public figures are attending the funerals in Jerusalem. French police are hunting for as many as six people connected to last week's deadly terrorist attacks in Paris. The French government said Monday it was clear the killers had help. Investigators say as many as six members of the terrorist cell that carried out the attacks that killed 17 people could still be on the loose. The streets around Ohio State University are a lot quieter this morning than they were overnight when police had to use tear gas and pepper spray to clear out rowdy celebrations after the Buckeyes won college football's national championship. Thousands poured out of bars and campus buildings after Ohio State routed Oregon 42-20 Monday night in Dallas. Oil prices are below $46 a barrel, their lowest levels in almost 6 years. This is USA Radio News.
Did you donate anything to charity last year? Or did you tell your girlfriend you donated something to charity, but really you just moved it to the attic because that CD tower is part of who you are? And if Michelle doesn't understand that, well, maybe Michelle doesn't understand you. Or, well, no matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you donate anything, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
Inventory isn't about products, kid. It's about money. Products sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. I hate overstock. I hate understock. I hate wasting time. I hate wasting money. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger KeepStock solutions help us manage our facility's inventory so we have exactly what we need when we need it. No more, no less. It's inventory management my way. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The first round of jury selection for the murder trial of Aaron Hernandez is almost over. The last of 1,100 candidates will fill out screening questionnaires today at Massachusetts Superior Court in Fall River. That's where a jury will decide if the 25-year-old former New England Patriot is guilty of shooting and killing a semi-pro football player in 2013. The controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline is moving forward in the Senate after a key procedural vote. Senators cleared a 60-vote threshold Monday and voted to proceed to a debate on the project, which would pump oil from Canada to the Texas Gulf Coast. The House passed the Republican bill Friday, authorizing construction of the pipeline.
A new study suggests Facebook may know its users even better than their friends and family do. Researchers asked over 80,000 Facebook users to take part in a personality test. They compared the results with a computer model answering the same questions based on whatever the user liked on Facebook, including celebrities, activities, events, and artists. On average, the computer was able to match the user's answers about themselves more times than their loved ones. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hey, listen, I have my own business. Can you help me get my name out there?
I'm on it.
You can print my name on anything?
On it. Your name on business cards, on pens, brochures, banners, t-shirts, signs.
Go on.
On hats, mugs, magnets, calendars, keychains, tote bags.
On tote bags?
Totes.
Can I do it on budget?
On it.
I'm sold.
Hey, are you ever not on?
Only on my days off.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Get 20% off any copy and print order of $50 or more.
Offer valid in-store and online ends 1/31/15. Excludes self-serve copying and faxing, computer rentals, and outsourced print services. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer.
It would seem that our work is cut out for us when it comes to preparing for and dealing with outbreaks of serious diseases. The Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation worked together on a recent nationwide report. Rich Hamburg is the deputy director of the Trust for America's Health.
Half of the states in Washington, D.C. scored 5 or lower out of 10 key indicators relating to preventing, detecting, diagnosing, and responding to outbreaks. Washington was one of those states, scoring a 4 out of 10 of these indicators.
The report looks at cases like Ebola and other antibiotic-resistant superbugs. Hamburg calls the recent Ebola outbreak a wake-up call. He also says the report found less than half of Washington residents were vaccinated for the flu. He adds that state budget cuts in Washington over the past 2 years haven't helped.
Washington is one of a number of states that have seen multiple years of budget cuts. So looking at public health funding overall, the state has seen a cut in at least the last 2 years.
An experiment involving heavy chemotherapy and injections of the patient's own stem cells appears to stop the advance of relapsing multiple sclerosis. But for now, traditional drugs and methods remain the preferred MS treatment. Dr. Peter Wade, an MS expert from Connecticut, says diet is a part of that.
There's really no specific diet recommendations or restrictions that I give to MS patients. I think a general healthy diet, a low-fat, fruits and vegetables, is the diet you need to take.
Dr. Wade says exercise is also important, even for MS patients in wheelchairs. Relapsing MS is the disease's most common form. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Time is 10:33. It's time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 23 degrees, and it is clear. The unfortunate part is that it's only going to get up to 26 today. Oh. We changed it to a high of 27. Winds north-northeast to 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy skies this evening will become overcast overnight and a low around 10. Winds light and variable. And overcast tomorrow with a high of 32. Winds light and variable. On Thursday, the 15th, sunshine along with some clouds. A high of 33. Clouds and sunshine and a high of 38 on Friday the 16th. Clear skies and a few passing clouds. On Saturday with a high of 38. Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 47. That sounds like a pretty nice day. And on Monday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny, we get down to 34. 22 in Franklin, 23 in Alexandria, 25 in Clinton Township, 25 in White House, 25 in Raritan, 26 in Ringos, and 23 in Lambertville. That is 100 Chamber Radio weather. It's 10:34. You're listening to 100chamberradio.com's Tech Today show. We're in the middle of winter. And one of the things that comes with winter is colds and flu. It's associated with that, is it not? And then what other people start thinking about is this, right? All the different times that you are touching various technology, doors, what have you, and somebody might have, prior to you, might have left germs on it. One of the biggest ones, ATMs. And how about this? At the Consumer Electronics Show, David Goldman says, germ-killing ATM screens are a thing now. Written on the 8th, he says, ATM screens are notorious germ collectors. People with disgusting sticky hands touch them all day and banks probably rarely clean them, if ever. That's why Corning's new antimicrobial touchscreen glass for ATMs could be a lifesaver, or at least a cold and bellyache saver. Corning partnered with ATM maker Diebold to make ATM touchscreens with ionic silver. It prevents bacteria, algae, mold, mildew, and fungi from growing. Diebold and Corning showed off a prototype of the new germ-killing screen at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas last week. The first ATM to get the germ-killing touchscreens will be Diebold's new 5500 series ATMs, which are the tiny cash machines deployed in corner stores. Talk about gross. Diebold said its new ATMs for bank branches will also eventually get the clear touchscreens. Corning will also make antimicrobial touchscreens that can be retrofitted onto existing ATMs. So even the old gross kiosk you have been getting cash from for years could soon feature a cleaner screen. The glassmaker said the touchscreen technology will fight germs for the life of the ATM. The companies haven't yet set a date for when the first germ-fighting touchscreen would hit the market. Various studies have shown just how repulsive ATM screens are. One study by New Zealand cleaning product company Janola found that ATMs were the most bacteria-infested public surface, dirtier than public phones, toilets, restaurants, tablets, tables, train ticket kiosks. The ABC affiliate in Washington, D.C. found more than 1,400 particles of germs or bacteria in a single swab at a Union Station ATM. Okay, well, there you have it. In the meantime, you might want to go with some hand sanitizer prior to the germ screens, the antimicrobial screens going into place. Well, let's see what else is happening out there. This one, again, I am blown away by the concept, and I'm blown away that it actually could sell. And here it is. CNN reported on December 11th that there are apps. There's an app that lets you wake up with a stranger. Doug Gross of CNN reported on the 11th that Wakey users can set their alarm and get a wake-up call from a complete stranger via the app for iPhone, Android, or Windows. If the concept of being awakened by a complete stranger sounds good to you, as opposed to, say, creepy or disconcerting, then Wakey is the app for you. Originally launched in 2011, Wakey has finally made its way to the iPhone's App Store after a reported 9-month wait. It also available for Android and Windows phones, and according to the company, already has 1.5 million users in 80 countries. They call it the social alarm clock and a friendly community of people who wake each other up in the morning, and the concept is that simple. If you set an alarm through the app at say, 6 a.m., you get a call from another user waking you up when the time comes. Likewise, if you're in the mood to be the waker, not the wakey, there are wakeys and sleepies in the app's parlance, you can go to the app, see how many people are ready to rise and shine, and click to be the person who delivers the news. Connections are made through the app, and no one ever sees a user's phone number. The length of a call is limited to 1 minute, and users are encouraged to sing songs, tell jokes, recite poems, or use otherwise creative ways to kickstart their slumbering community members' days. If no wakeys are on the app, then you set an alarm. Wake sends you an automated robocall to do the job. It's worth noting that on the app's social feed, it's not uncommon to see folks who have awakened to the sound of a stranger's voice trying to track down that stranger, or vice versa. So that's all well and good, but why? Why get a stranger to wake you up instead of, you know, an alarm? Quote, a lot of people keep snoozing alarm clocks and still can't wake up, said Harachik Ajaman, Wakey CEO and co-founder. He told TechCrunch, "Our research shows that a one-minute talk to a stranger wakes your brain up with a 99% guarantee. When someone asks you questions in the morning, your brain has to wake up to answer. Also, you try to be kind. You try to turn on your social pattern of behavior. After the call, you can't sleep anymore, even if you had a short sleep." But what about the creep factor? Is there anything stopping someone from calling up and being abusive or rude? There's an in-app tool to report abuse, but Ageman says it's never really been a problem. Wakey is free, but there are plans for a premium version in the works. Ageman told TechCrunch that version may also allow conversations up to 5 minutes, as well as letting users choose the gender of the person who calls them, which starts to sound a bit too much like a wake-up dating app to us, though there are worse ways to have early morning chats with romantically minded strangers, we suppose. Wow, I have no idea. I understand the part where you get a call, but why would you do it with strangers? Why wouldn't you do it with like Facebook friends or something like that? And I guess it's cool that it's just a call. I'd really be freaked out if it was actually video conferencing. That would be even more interesting. So there you have it. Go out and check out Wakey if you are looking to be woken up by a stranger. And how about this? CNN reports that flip phones are hip again. Doug Gross reports on the 31st that hipsters rejoice. Next time you ride your fixed gear bicycle to the thrift store where you find a vintage grease-stained mechanic shirt that matches your Rolly Fingers mustache and Grizzly Adams beard, there's an edgy, if technologically suboptimal, way to tell your friends about it. Use your flip phone. In an age of the iPhone 6 Plus and massive Android phablets, flip phones are inexplicably making a comeback. No less an arbiter of cool than Vogue magazine's editor Anna Wintour was apparently dumped her iPhone in favor of a flipper. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, actress Kate Beckinsale, and even Rihanna are just a few of the celebrities spotted proudly brandishing the famous piece of paleo technology. And believe it or not, dumb phones aren't exactly the elusive unicorn that some of us think they are. As of January, 56% of American adults own smartphones, compared to a total of 90% who had a cell phone of some kind. According to the Pew Research Internet Project, among millennials age 18 to 29, an overwhelming 83% of those who own cell phones had a smartphone, but that leaves the other 17% who keep the mobile life more basic. The hinged snapshot flipper form factor was originally introduced to the public in 1982 by a laptop computer Grid with its compass computer. Motorola, perhaps the king of flip phones with its Razr line, introduced the clamshell style in 1996 with its StarTAC phone, which appropriately enough was re-released in nostalgic techies in 2010. Is there really all about going for retro hipster street cred? There is, at times, a mystifying aspect of cool that centers around eschewing modern convenience for vintage, well, inconvenience. How about typewriters or racing high-wheeled bicycles? Yes, playing baseball with rules and equipment of the 1960s, absolutely. But there are absolutely more practical reasons some people, including millennials, go flip. For some, it's about simplifying and uncluttering in a 24/7 plugged-in society. It just seemed like it would be better for my addled brain than a smartphone, 26-year-old Angelica Baker, a tutor and writer, told Time. Personally, I'm too scattered and unfocused to handle email and Facebook on my phone. Baker swapped out her Droid for her mom's retired flip phone, which was a pink Motorola Razr. No one has to worry about the iCloud being hacked when they use a flip phone. There's a little to no eye and neck strain, no fear of Flappy Bird addiction. And let's be honest, there's something satisfying about a switchblade-like phone flip after an annoying phone conversation that even the most emphatic tap of a touchscreen will never approach. Maybe the hipsters are onto something. So there you have it. Flip phones are back. I think I've given all mine away, but I might have to look in some of my junk drawers and see if there's one out there. And you can now participate in one. 10:46, we're going to take a break. Station ID, I'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Many of you have traveled, many of you stay in hotels, and many of you rely on wireless internet, and you've found out in the past that you now have the ability to get your own internet rather than using the paid one by the hotel. Well, the hotel industry is apparently hell-bent on screwing you, its guests. Kevin Drum on Wednesday, December 24th, wrote, "The sheer vanity and barefaced contempt for its customers that's so often displayed by corporate America never ceases to amaze him. I had no idea this was going on. Microsoft and Google don't agree on much, but they're presented a united front against the hotel industry, which is trying to convince government regulators to give them the option of blocking guests from using personal Wi-Fi hotspots. In October, Marriott settled an FCC complaint about the practice for $600,000, but argued that it hadn't broken the law and was using technology to protect guests from, quote, rogue wireless hotspots that can cause degraded service, insidious cyber attacks, and identity theft, unquote. Opponents of the proposal basically argued in filings late Monday that the hotel industry is just trying to keep guests and exhibitors dependent on pricey hotel wireless networks. They suggest that hotels have other options for protecting Wi-Fi networks than jamming personal hotspots. Years ago, hotels lost the ability to charge outrageous prices for phone calls, so now they're engaged in a desperate rear-guard attempt to keep guarding outrageous prices for Wi-Fi. Here's a suggestion. Instead of providing decent rooms at reasonable prices and offer your guests additional services at reasonable prices, two, ho, ho, ho. I wonder, and this is just a postscript by the editor, whether range of the jamming device is, and if it's jamming outside of the hotel, are you affecting somebody else? Quite honestly, the whole point is that jamming is illegal. I've looked into it because even with cars, where you wanted to jam the cell phone service of your kids in the car, that's technically illegal. Now, the car industry, the mobile phone industry, is looking into how to do it anyway, but right now it's illegal to jam a frequency, a radio frequency, and that's why the hotel is positioning is petitioning the FCC for a for an exception. But you can see it's cloaked in this guise of we're trying to protect our customers, but meanwhile we're trying to protect ourselves as well. So be on the lookout for that. It looks like it's still way in the back of trying to be figured out whether it'll get through. And at this particular point, the only problem is that it looks like some of the hotels are doing the practice. And if you aren't realizing it, you might just say, well, I guess I just can't get it here. But it might turn out that you, in fact, are being subject to being jammed by the hotel chain. You never know. And speaking of the FCC, they want to make your broadband faster. David Goldman reports on January 8th that you might feel like the broadband you're getting at home feels more like dial-up. The FCC agrees with you. In a draft proposal provided to CNN Money, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler said he thinks broadband should provide minimal speeds of 25 megabits per second. That's enough to seamlessly stream an Ultra HD 4K movie from Netflix or download an HD movie from iTunes in about 10 minutes. Most Americans aren't getting anything close to that. The average download speed in the United States is 11.5 megabits per second, according to Alchemy's latest State of the Internet report, which was published last Thursday. The FCC's current standard for broadband is minimum of 4 megabits per second, which Wheeler called inadequate for supporting today's high-quality voice, data, graphics, and video. The FCC says 55 million Americans, 17%, don't even have access to 25 megabit broadband service. Wheeler has long advocated for increasing broadband speeds as more people rely on speedy internet connections to power their smartphones, tablets, cars, televisions, and other connected devices. Slow speeds just aren't cutting it anymore. The FCC last changed the standard definition for broadband in 2010, raising it from 200 kilobits per second to the current 4 megabits per second standard. Though the FCC has the ability to change the definition of broadband, it doesn't have the power to force internet service providers to match those speeds. Still, the FCC can set the minimum speed requirements for government-funded broadband deployments to rural and underserved regions of the country, and declaring that most broadband providers aren't really providing broadband speeds is equivalent to cracking the whip on the nation's internet companies. Meanwhile, the largest cable companies are looking for ways to boost speeds. Comcast announced at Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this week that its new modems will support speeds of 1,000 megabits. It's unlikely that you'll ever see speeds even close to that, but the extra bandwidth will come in handy when you're streaming Netflix on a laptop while simultaneously uploading YouTube clips on your smartphone. And I just want to reiterate, last week I talked about it, that Comcast and a number of other companies are raising the rates, the leasing rates on your modem. So if Comcast does come along and asks you to purchase or rent a new modem, go out and find out the specifications. Go out to the website and go and buy your own. And then tell them the MAC number and they will be able to have it on their network and you will not have to incur that $10 a month charge. That's ridiculous. In 1 year, you will pay for it. In 3 years, you'll pay for three of them and they'll never give you a new one. It's 10:55. The Some Things About Money crew is on their way in. And so I'm going to start making my way out of here. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am on Tech Today at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've passed on a little bit of that mission to you. I'll be with you next Tuesday, 10 o'clock, Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
The Hunterdon County County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
The news is sponsored by the Huntington Medical Center. Huntington Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Huntington Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntingtonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama heads to the Homeland Security Department today to promote new efforts on cybersecurity. The massive recent cyber attack on Sony put a spotlight on cybersecurity and privacy. Obama pushed new efforts to combat identity theft in a speech at the Federal Trade Commission on Monday. Shortly after his speech at the FTC, news broke about the Twitter and YouTube accounts of U.S. Central Command being hacked. The perpetrators claim to be aligned with ISIS. Muslim leaders from across the country will be gathering in Texas this weekend to defend the Prophet Muhammad. Organizers say the annual Stand with the Prophet in Honor and Respect conference is taking place Saturday with the goal of combating, quote, Islamophobes in America. Organizers say the media and so-called Islamophobes have invested, quote, at least $160 million to attack Islam's prophet and turn him into an object of hate. One woman is dead, three people are in critical condition, and dozens remain hospitalized after deadly smoke filled a Washington, D.C. metro station. The NTSB says the heavy smoke was caused by an event involving a third rail and power supply cables. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Linda. Have you been working out?
I've been shopping at Rite Aid.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. You can earn all these great rewards just by shopping. I got dance fitness sessions.
Rewards for shopping. Happy Me Year.
It's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from bowling to exercise classes to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through January 24th. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See riteaid.com/youyear for details.
I'm a mid-century architectural wonder, a house made entirely of glass. So you can imagine my fright when giant pieces of hail started falling from the sky. Did I mention I'm made entirely of glass? Everyone was running here, running there, trying to get out of the house, but what am I to do? I am the house.
Your house can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance. You could save even more when you combine your homeowners with an existing auto insurance policy. Call Geico, go to geico.com, or visit your local office.
Facebook is doing its part to help recover abducted children by embedding Amber Alerts into users' news feeds. The Facebook alerts will complement regular warnings with extra information. The system only delivers alerts to users who live in the specific area where the child might be. The new alert system is only available in the U.S. for now, but Facebook plans to explore bringing it to other countries. A couple in Minnesota tied the knot this weekend after taking their second trip down the aisle 20 years after their first. Briggs and Brittany Fussy tell Fox and Friends they were 3 years old during their initial wedding experience when Briggs served as the ring bearer in his godmother's ceremony and Brittany was the flower girl.
I don't remember too much about it, and I definitely don't remember being as crazy as I was running around the floor and pulling on the bride's dress.
They reunited again in high school and finally exchanged vows this past weekend. But before the ceremony, Briggs and Brittany said they had a good laugh by watching a video from their first, quote, wedding. This is USA Radio News.
My name is Jeannie. I'm able to work from home and be a full-time mom, and that means everything to me.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the Three-Step Plan Home-Based Business System. Thousands of Americans are successfully working from home with the Three-Step Plan.
My name is Bill. I've been able to pay off all of my bills and save money.
To find out how you could work from home with your own home-based business, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
Jimmy Carter is celebrating the near defeat of the Guinea worm. On Monday's Daily Show, the former president arrived sporting one of the pipe filters the Carter Center is helping to distribute so people can get clean water in countries like South Sudan. But Carter had to explain exactly what the pipe does because host Jon Stewart seemed a little confused.
Put this in your mouth and stick it through the scum and suck it and you won't get Guinea worm.
Thank you. Yeah.
For a second, I thought it was back in the 70s, and me, you, and Willie Nelson were heading up to the roof of the White House.
Carter also proudly explained that the pipe has helped reduce the cases of guinea worm from 3.5 million to just 126. Later in the interview, Carter talked about the recent attacks in Paris and the subsequent gathering of world leaders in the city. He says he doesn't blame President Obama for not attending the march, noting that it isn't easy for the president.